reading from verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But servants by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Back to chapter 1. Verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 10. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I have been encouraged as I have meditated on this particular aspect, and I do trust that this afternoon that you and I will begin to appreciate more and more the heritage that we have, that God has given to us in calling us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. I notice here that we have an assembly. And the Apostle Paul, in speaking to this assembly, he speaks that God in every assembly seeks fruit. He also reminds us that it is God that giveth the increase. We need to be reminded of that. And then he also gives us the wonderful blessing and encouragement. Now some people isolate this to the Apostle Paul and Christian workers. But I don't actually agree with that, because I believe that God has called all his people into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We often speak about people being in fellowship. And I certainly wouldn't stand up here today and throw stones, nor would I criticize. but rather I would desire to challenge my own heart and your heart. To ask ourselves the question, am I in fellowship with God? Now, what is fellowship that we have brought before us here? Is it a number of persons branding themselves together and associated together and beginning to function, and then they speak of that as fellowship? What is fellowship? I believe that fellowship is a common relationship that we have one to the other and one with another in the interests of God's blessed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times, brethren, that I feel that there has been a very narrow view of this fellowship. To the encouragement that there may be some who are young, and you would feel that if you could make this platform, that you had reached a place in the fellowship with God that only few enjoy. Well, I want to confess this afternoon that it has never been easy any time in my own experience to get on a gospel platform or one such as this. I remember asking a dear Irish brother, and they're not always the wisest to ask, because you'll always get a blunt answer. I was having trouble getting to the platform in gospel meeting. I'll not tell you where I was wanting to go, but it was a real embarrassment. So I confided in him. And he said this, Tommy, when you lose that, he says, don't try to get on to the gospel platform. So let me remind you, and I speak this with honesty and sincerity, we are not here by choice. I honestly believe that God has called each one of us into the fellowship of His Son. Like a dear brother that's in Anchorage, he's a dear black brother, very, very dear to me. He used to head up a trade union, and he was very, very expressive when they went to bargain with the employers. And then we had the joy of seeing him saved and gathered to the Lord's name, and he goes on wonderfully today. You know, just a few weeks after he was saved, his wife was in the meeting. I went to visit them, and they were having an argument. And of course, I came in the middle of it. And she was saying, speak to him, speak to him. He sits in the morning meeting like a bump on a log. He has nothing to say. He turned appealingly to me, and he said, tell her it's not the same as a trade union. Brethren, it's not the same. It's into the fellowship by the Father's grace and faithfulness that you and I find ourselves in the assembly of God. There's not one of us that would be here only for the faithfulness of God. I believe it's a very, very healthy exercise. As the Apostle Paul brought these believers to look at the faithfulness of God in their past calling by grace. I believe it's chapter 1 and verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. As that dear man of God, the Apostle Paul, proclaimed the gospel message, there was a response to that message. And you find there in chapter 6, what a crowd at a gospel meeting, you find there was all sorts of sinners, and they're just a little miniature of what you and I were. We must place ourselves somewhere in that line of sinners that were called by God's grace. Does it not thrill your soul to go back to the time when by God's grace you were called through the gospel and gloriously reached and saved? That wasn't the end of it. That effective call of God brought you into association with others who had the same call, who learned of the same grace, who heard the same message and responded to it. And if you're saved at all, I want to emphasize that. If you're saved at all, you would be like the Apostle Paul, a soul on the road to Damascus. The first thing you would want to do would be to ask him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you asked the Lord that question? Do you realize that all the resources and all the riches that are associated with the person of Christ, that is a bankrupt sinner on your way to hell, fit for nothing, God brought you into all the grandeur and all the enrichment that he has in the person of his Son? Is that the salvation that you got? Or are you holding on to some experience and you have more faith in your experience than you have in the person of Christ? Brethren, I say this, if you haven't got to Christ, I don't care what your experience is. It's Christ and Christ alone. And in these few verses, in the first chapter, we find that he is Lord. And it is this one, the Son of God, that you and I, by the faithfulness of God, have been called into fellowship, into a relationship one with another, to be interested morning, noon, and night in the affairs of our blessed Savior. Look at the enrichment that God has given. I'm not seeking to go outside the assemblies of God. There's nothing like it. And they do not have any colleges except our brother John Abernethy. When they ask him what college he went to, he says St. Mary's. Well, we all have gone to St. Mary's, and that is the foot of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're putting no premium upon ignorance, brother. But there's nothing like the teaching of the Assembly of God where the sovereignty and the liberty of the Spirit of God is acknowledged. You and I were introduced to that. Or were you introduced to the gospel? What were you introduced when God saved you? What were you introduced to? You were introduced to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and not as a junior partner. For the Apostle Paul, in speaking to these believers, he said, who is Paul and who is Apollos? These dear people made the great mistake that you and I can make. That is, instead of realizing that it was the grace of God that had called them into the fellowship, saved them, they began to make much of the men that had the gift. I thank God for these brethren, past, present, and I'm thankful to be able to say, in the Bible reading this morning, I was thrilled by a younger brother taking intelligent part and helping us in a wonderful way in in the Bible reading. It cheered my heart, brethren. It's not all ended. God is raising his men. He's calling into the fellowship. And if the Lord takes us home, don't worry about it. It's God that gives the increase. And God has given you and I the privilege to be in the assembly. What has he brought us into? You'll notice here that the Apostle Paul, in speaking of grace, in verse 4, he thanks my God. There's nothing should thrill our hearts as much as to hear of souls being saved. He thanked God for this grace. And oh, you get that second epistle, and isn't it full of grace? See that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And that you find its grace, brethren, in that chapter 6, that leads us out to the heart of our blessed Father in separation, not isolation. And the privileges of separation is knowing God experimentally as our Father, not just vaporing it with our lips, but experiencing it in our everyday life. Then you find in chapter 7, it's grace that leads to glorious sanctification. Isn't it lovely to see in chapter 8, those poor saints, and you find it was grace that moved their hearts into the riches of their liberality in spite of their deep poverty. Grace, brethren, should make us a happy people, a holy people, a helpful people, people that are interested in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice something else that God has given. And young believer, these are in the assembly. This is what God, I hope that you realize that it's God has called all into this fellowship. God wants us all to be active partners, and there's no such a thing as theoretical fellowship. There's not a thought of that in the scripture. Fellowship is an active participation in the interest of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, we look here what God has done for us in the present. It says here in verse 7, or verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched in him, in all utterance, and in all knowledge. Now you know there's some, and they have been brought into the assembly of God's people, where we have the liberty of the Spirit of God, and where if God has given us a gift, we can exercise that gift under the ministry of the Spirit of God. And then having received this gift and being able to have the ability to speak the gift of God, the Apostle Paul reminds us of this. In the second epistle, he didn't obscurize his gift. Yes, you can take all that God has blessed you with, and you find that you could use it elsewhere. But please remember, anything that we get is all utterance. The ability to enjoy the truth of God, to speak the truth of God in the liberty of the Spirit of God. Now, young brother and older brother, Tommy Thompson on the platform, let us remind ourselves of something, that we are not called into the fellowship of a people who are all preachers. We are called into a fellowship of a people who are all priests. And one of the things that we need to correct in our assemblies is the attitude that some have that they're all preachers. Now, God has called us into the fellowship of his Son, and he has given to every man his work. And every one of God's dear people have a right of entrance into the presence of God as holy priests, and God qualifies that. But when we speak of ministry, When the Apostle Paul speaks of servants,